Could I sing a song quickly? A song that I just felt before I even jump in. Yeah, I just felt the Lord drop this song in my heart during worship. Yeah. And you're more real than the ground I'm standing on. And you're more real than the breath in my lungs. Your thoughts define me, well, you're inside me. You're my reality. And my reality. And above. And I belong to you. And above. And I belong to you. You're my Father. And above. And I belong to you. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yeah. And above. And I belong to you. Amen. Amen. Good evening, everyone. So like Jacques said, my name is Michael. And it's such a privilege to be sharing today. It's also such a privilege to be a part of this family. I joined about 8 months ago. And can I just say it's been one of the best 8 months of my life. Just being a part of this family, I've loved just being a part of what God has been doing in us as a congregation and just seeing that all that He's been doing in us, as a congregation, I loved every part of it. But the thing that I love the most about just this past 8 months has been you guys. I just love you guys. I love doing life with you all. I love just getting to know you guys. You guys are a truly amazing bunch of people. And I'm so privileged to be a part of this family and to be a son in this house. So thank you for just receiving me the way you guys have. And yeah, you guys are amazing. You guys have a very special place in my heart. Let me just open up my MacBook here quickly. Yeah, so Father, I pray for this evening, Lord. I pray even as I share your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you would be lifted up in this time, in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. Amen. So this evening, I want to share about living in fellowship with God and walking in fellowship with Him. And I want to speak about specifically remaining in fellowship with Him. And I use the word remain intentionally because remain implies a continual thing that we do. It's not just a once-off thing that we do, but it's something that we do continually. And it's kind of like Jacques used the analogy of a phone in the beginning. It's kind of like a phone. You don't charge your phone once and expect your phone to last forever. But periodically and occasionally, you put your phone on the charger to ensure that it's working so that whenever you want to use it, you can use it. And it's a very poor analogy, but remaining in fellowship with God is kind of like that. We have to continually be in His presence. We continually have to, when we wake up in the morning, Lord, please, would you come? Would you come into my heart? Would you speak to me? It's a continual thing that we do. It's not just a once-off thing. Like I say a prayer, I got my ticket into heaven, and that's it. But it's a continual thing that we do. And that's the title of my message, Fellowship Unbroken, or Unbroken Fellowship, whatever you want to call it. And I want to start off with a quick story. And it's a true story. And it's a story about a man by the name of Chuck Colson. And many of you guys might know him or have heard of him. If you haven't, I'm going to explain a bit of his story just now. But just a quick history lesson. In the 1970s, there was a massive scandal in the United States known as the Watergate scandal. And the scandal involved President Nixon. And basically the scandal was people that were working for him, they broke into the Democratic Party's office in Washington, D.C. to spy and steal information on President Nixon's political opponents. And basically, they were going to use these information that they got for President Nixon's re-election campaign so that he could be elected as president again. Eventually, investigators found out what President Nixon was doing, and at first it seemed like a small crime, but later investigators found out that the White House was actually covering up all of this by lying, by covering up information, and ultimately by using their government power to stop investigators from investigating. Eventually, this whole scandal came out, and it led to President Nixon resigning in 1974, and he became the only president to ever resign from office. And he decided to rather resign from office than be kicked out of office. And one of the guys that was working for President Nixon was a man by the name of Chuck Colson. And because he was involved in this whole scandal, he was taken into prison and he was arrested. And Chuck Colson was this man that was ruthless. He was ruthless. Like, he kept this outward appearance that everything's okay, I'm the tough guy, I got everything under control. And he was very loyal to power. But actually, behind the scenes, his life was actually falling apart. And after he was taken into prison and arrested, something very unexpected happened to him while he was in prison. One of his friends gave him a copy of C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. And as he was in prison, he read this book, and he was deeply convicted of his sin. And in prison, he broke down and he wept, and he was like, Lord, what have I done? And he just saw his need for God. And in prison, he cried out to God, and he was like, Lord, I need you. And he confessed his sin before God. And later on, he decided to confess his sin before the whole nation as well. Not because he had to, but because he wanted to walk in the light. And in prison, he found true fellowship with Jesus and the Father. And later on in his life, when he was released from prison, he went on to start one of the world's largest outreaches to prisoners called Prison Fellowship. And through this outreach, he's been reaching millions of people, millions of ex-prisoners, millions of prisoners and their families, and people's lives are being changed even just through what God has done through him, and which gave birth to this outreach called Prison Fellowship. The Lord has done so much in his life, and the Lord has used his life to impact so much people. And later on, he said that the real legacy of his life was not the Watergate scandal, but the fact that he found Jesus in the midst of it all. And this evening, I want to speak about true fellowship with the Father, true fellowship with the Son. And I want to say from Chuck Colson's life that true fellowship is found in the light, and the light is entered through surrender. True fellowship is found in the light, and the light is entered through surrender, as we can see from his life. And I want to look at a portion of scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. And I'm going to pull out three things that the Lord has been speaking to me about and just ministering to me, and things that I've tried to apply and even just walk into as well. So let's read 1 John verses 1 to 10 together, and then I'm going to pull a few things out. So if you can turn there, if you have your Bibles, you're more than welcome to turn there. Or if you don't have your Bibles, you can follow on the screen as well. But yeah, let's read it together. So 1 John 1, it says, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. This is the message we have heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and not showing that his word and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. And before I even dive into the 3 points, it's so beautiful for me just seeing how John describes Jesus and his relationship with Jesus in the beginning. He speaks about how he has seen him. He uses intimate language. I've touched him. I've touched him. And this same John that is writing this is the apostle that the disciple that sat next to Jesus during the Last Supper that put his head against his chest. And John knew Jesus intimately. And it's so beautiful for me just to see the intimate languages that he uses here in the beginning. And the first point that I want to make, something that the Lord has just revealed to me again as I was just prepping and praying, is that fellowship with God is our source of true joy in life. We see in 1 John verses 3 to 4, John says, "We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy." And it's just so beautiful, beautiful for me to see again that the source of John's joy comes from him having fellowship with the Father and the Son. And I want to say that John is writing this so that we may share in that same joy that he has. And that joy comes from him having fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Our joy is not rooted in our circumstances, but our joy is found in being in his presence and being in fellowship with that person. And before I even speak about the how we remain in fellowship with him, I want to speak about the why. And the why is because in him, there is fullness of joy. In him, there is life. In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, You make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There's such a beautiful statement for me. And as I was just reading the scripture, I was reminded today again that when Jesus died and he rose again and he ascended into heaven, that when he ascended, it says that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And the beautiful for me, even here, it says, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And something that I've realized again is that pleasures is found in that man, Jesus. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. In that man, there are pleasures forevermore. Christianity is not about religion, it's a relationship with that person, Jesus. Even as we were singing that you are the treasure in the field, I give everything. You are. I count all things as a loss for the sake of knowing you. In him, there are pleasures forevermore. And you know, if fellowship with God is the source of joy and life, then anything that breaks that is worth avoiding at all costs. If fellowship with God is our source of joy and life, then anything that breaks that is worth avoiding at all costs. If fellowship with God is our source of joy and life, then anything that breaks that is worth avoiding at all costs. Amen. Let's continue reading 1 John verses 5 to 8. It says here, "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you." And this is the theological truth. "God is light and there is no darkness in him at all." The negative application of this verse. "So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth." The positive application. "But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." From all sin. I want to zoom in verse 7, where it speaks about one another. I don't know about you guys, but I always wrestled with that. What is the one another referring to? We have fellowship with one another. Is it referring to God? Is it referring with other believers? What does it mean? And as I was just meditating on this portion of scripture, I've realized again, not realized again, but I've come to the realization that when it speaks about having fellowship with one another, it's not just speaking about with God, but it's speaking about with other believers as well. That as we have fellowship with Him, automatically that spills over into having fellowship with one another as well. And I've noticed in my own life that the moment I stop walking in the light, that I don't just struggle with fellowship with God, but I struggle with fellowship with other believers as well. Have you guys noticed that in your own life? At the moment you start living in darkness, and maybe you've sinned and you've covered up, that you don't just struggle in your walk with the Lord, but you struggle also just fellowshipping with other believers as well. And yeah, I've just noticed that. And if I can just be vulnerable, 2 weeks ago before we left for David and Melissa's wedding, we were going to drive we were going to leave on the Thursday. We were going to leave on the Thursday morning, but the previous day, before we left, I broke the mirror, the base mirror of Jock and Jeanette's combi. And when I broke it, I was filled with fear, and because first and foremost, like when I broke it, it was late afternoon already, so fixing it was gonna be a whole hassle. It was gonna be a hassle because like the mechanics are gonna close, and how are we gonna fix this now? We need the car. We're driving the next morning, and it's just like a whole big hassle. But another reason why I was very fearful was because I was scared just how Jacques and Jeanette were gonna respond to me. I was scared of being rejected, and because of me being scared of being rejected, it led to me lying to Jacques about how I actually broke the base of the right mirror. And I lied to him, and for days I sat with this, and I didn't know what to do, and I felt the Lord convict me and tell me, you need to walk in the light and tell Jacques the truth. And I know the Lord was doing that to teach me something. But I sat with this thing and I couldn't, because I was scared of how he was going to respond to me, and I was scared that they were going to reject me, and I was trying to keep up this image that I have everything's okay, like I don't make mistakes, I'm, in a sense, Michael's perfect, which is not true. And eventually the Lord just kept on convicting me, and in that time when I wasn't telling them the truth, it felt as if I just struggled with fellowshipping with God. It felt like He was just so far, and not only that, but I struggled just with everyone on the trip as well, like I struggled connecting with people with the people that were driving with us on the trip, and it was awful. And eventually, I was like, you know what, Lord, I'm gonna do what you're telling me to do. I'm gonna walk in the light. I'm gonna tell them how the mirror actually broke. And I pulled Jacques aside, and I told Jacques like a half truth, because again, I was trying to protect myself, to try and make myself look good. And I said, Jock, this is how I broke the window, and I left a bit of details out. And he was like, okay, cool, no problem. And I went away, and I was like, okay, I told the truth, and I tried to justify, okay, I told the truth. I don't need to tell him other things as well. Like I did it, and I felt the Lord just tell me, like, no, buddy, you need to go back. You need to go back and tell the full truth. And then the next, I slept with this, and I was like, oh, Lord, do I really have to? And then eventually the next morning, I wrestled with myself. Like, you know, you have the internal lawyer that can kind of like get you to stop. You can, that lawyer can just, yeah. Each and every one of us have that internal lawyer that can, in a sense, prevent us from doing that which we have to. And I had to fight with that internal lawyer of mine. And eventually I went to Jacques again, and I was like, okay, Jacques, I actually want to tell you the real truth. And I just laid it out before him. And it took surrender for me to do that. Surrender of my own pride, surrender of how people might, what Jacques and Jeanette might think of me. It took surrendering of control, controlling the situation. And the moment I told Jacques the full truth, it felt as if just intimacy with the Father was restored again, that I could experience fellowship with the Father again. And it felt as if I could connect with everybody on the trip again. And it felt as if just in that moment when I walked into the light, that God was just, His presence just came again. And I could just, I could just enjoy being in fellowship with Him again. And in those few days when I was walking in the darkness, it felt horrible. I couldn't experience His presence. I couldn't, it was horrible. And I don't know how, to be honest, I don't know how people can go on not knowing His presence. And for me, I've tasted and I've seen. I was like, Lord, I need Your presence. And I walked into the light and it felt that as if that thing was restored. And I'm so grateful for that. And thank you. And I want to say, like this portion of Scripture says, that when we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God and we have fellowship with other believers as well. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And walking in the light restores fellowship with God and others. And the second thing that walking in the light does, we read in 1 John verse 9 to 10. It says here, but if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He first and foremost forgives us. But the second thing that He does is that He cleanses us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that His word has no place in our hearts. And the second thing that God does when we walk in the light is that He cleanses us from our sin. And it felt as if during that time, that like the Lord cleansed me. And He came and He dealt with that wound in my heart and He was making me whole again. And the beautiful thing about this word cleansed, I did a little bit of a word search. This word cleansed is used in the Gospels now specifically. It's used in 17 verses. And in 13 out of the 17 verses, this word is used in relation to lepers. And for those of you that don't know what a leper is, a leper was a person in the Old Testament that had a horrible skin disease. It was so contagious that he had to isolate himself from community. And worst of all, he couldn't go into the temple and worship God. And even as I was just thinking about this word cleansed, I was taken to Mark 1, verse 40 to 44, where there's an encounter with a leper. And I would love us to just read it quickly, if you can put it up. And it says, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you want to, you can make me well again. He said, moved with compassion, Jesus touched him. I want to. He said, be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. And the Lord just showed me again, even with this leprosy, that when Jesus cleansed this man that had leprosy, the leprosy left him completely. And the beautiful thing about God, as we walk in the light, He doesn't just forgive us of our sins, but He cleanses us from our sins. He makes us whole. He makes us more like Him. And like this leper, as he was cleansed, he was able to come back into community and he was able to also go into the temple and worship God. That's what God does with us as well when we walk into the light. He cleanses us so that we can come into community, enjoy family, but also enjoy Him as well. And I've realized that growing closer to God is not a matter of trying harder, but of surrendering more. Like this leper, he came to Jesus and he surrendered. Lord, if you are willing. And I've come to realize that if we want to grow closer to God, it's not a matter of trying harder, of praying harder. Like, of course, we need to pray, but it's a thing of surrender. We need to surrender more. Walking closer to God is a result of surrendering more. And this week, I was just reminded again of the song that Merv wrote, No Walls in My Heart. And there's a part in the song where he bolts out and it's like, nothing is hidden, everything exposed. Oh, nothing is hidden, into your eyes afar. And I just realized again that if we want to grow closer to Him, it's a thing of, Lord, I expose everything. Nothing is hidden. Here's my life. You can have it all, Lord. There's no holes in my heart. No holes in my heart, Lord. And I've realized that this is a very simple message, but it's very hard to implement. Like, it's a very vulnerable thing to walk in the light. But I want to say that there's so much freedom when we do so. There is so much joy we experience. There is so much life we experience when we walk in the light and we surrender everything to God. And as I come to an end, I want to bring it all together and say that fellowship with God, fellowship with the Father, is found in the light. And the light is entered through surrender. Growing closer to God is not a matter of trying harder, but it's a matter of surrendering more to God. And I believe that God is calling us as a family, as a people, to be those that would walk in the light, not to condemn us, but to cleanse us, that we can enjoy fellowship with Him. And the beautiful thing about God, like we just read, is that when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. But not just to forgive us, He comes and He restores fellowship with Himself and with other believers as well. And like the leper that came to Jesus, and he was like, Lord, will you cleanse me? Lord, will you cleanse me? And Jesus said, I'm willing. And I believe the Lord is saying this evening as well, like, I'm willing to cleanse you. I'm willing to forgive you of your sin. I'm willing to forgive you of your sin. Many a times we think that God cannot forgive me of this. But the cross is powerful. By the blood of Jesus, we can be forgiven of our sins. By the blood of Jesus, we can be cleansed. We can be made whole so we can come into relationship with Him. And like the leper, as he was cleansed, he was able to come back into community. And he was able to go into the temple and worship God again. I believe God is able to come and bring joy in our lives as we walk with Him, bring about freedom, and restore intimacy with Him. Amen. Can we pray? Yeah, let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you made a way for us, Lord. That it's not by effort, Lord, not by our own effort. I thank you, Lord, that you made a way, Lord. That when you died on the cross, Lord, that it says that the veil was torn in half, Lord. That we can come into the holy place, Lord. That we can have fellowship and relationship with you, Lord. Lord, I want to pray, Lord, that we would be a people that remains in fellowship with you, Lord. A people that walks with you, Lord. May we not be like Adam, Lord, that when you came in the garden, Lord, they hid from you. But I pray, Father, Lord, that we would be those that are exposed, Lord. Those that surrender each and every part of our lives to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name.